Lecture 5, The Challenge of Baruch Spinoza.
Baruch Spinoza, or as he is commonly known, Benedict Spinoza, was born into a converso family in Amsterdam, and of course, as you all know, represents a remarkably significant figure in European civilization. But he is also crucial in understanding the evolution of modern Jewish thought. In fact, we could argue, and we will argue, that clearly modern Jewish thought, in many respects, is simply a response to the arguments laid out by Spinoza in the 17th century. So in fact, by beginning to focus on his thinking, and as we go now from lecture to lecture, dealing with a different thinker, we have actually begun the bulk of our course. And Spinoza is clearly crucial in understanding the break from the medieval past and the present of the modern period that is before us. We, of course, will only consider in the context of this course Spinoza's response to Judaism. Clearly, there is much more to be said about Spinoza. Spinoza deserves many courses. He is clearly a seminal thinker in Western civilization. But clearly, his Jewish background, which is often ignored in describing his critical assault on Western civilization, is indeed significant, and we will see how significant it is momentarily. Spinoza, as I said, came out of a converso milieu, what we described in our previous lecture with respect to Amsterdam. And we should mention again the two figures he is often linked with, Juan de Prado and Oriol de Costa. In the case of the second, here is a man who left us conspicuously a remarkable narrative of his own journey from living as a Christian in Portugal, coming to Amsterdam with great expectations of seeing a new Jewish world, a world of freedom, a world where he could critically use his mind, and finding instead a kind of orthodoxy that had replaced the orthodoxy that he had given up. Oriol de Costa, as I mentioned, committed suicide. He wrote a painful autobiography about his trials and tribulations in trying to become a Jew. And he even left us a major work, an assault on the oral law on rabbinic Judaism. Oriol de Costa, therefore, allows us an opening into understanding where Benedict Spinoza, or Baruch Spinoza, will enter. Spinoza himself received a traditional rabbinic education, plus a thorough knowledge of classical sources. He clearly, as we can see from his many writings, knew generally the Western civilization, the Western philosophies, as well as Jewish philosophy, and in particular the Jewish philosophy of the Middle Ages, particularly the figure of Moses Maimonides. We return to him very shortly. He was educated in the Eitz Chaim Yeshiva, the academy for Jewish students in Amsterdam, but when his father died, he stopped observing a traditional Jewish life. And soon after, he left the community and settled in Rendsburg and broke fully from Judaism, though he did not convert. And perhaps that is worth noting, because already this indicates the kind of world that we are describing. As we said in our last lecture, Amsterdam was unusual in that its Jews were primarily made up of this Sephardic Jewish background. They had originally lived as converts and now had returned to Judaism. But it was also a very secularized place where the state, at least minimally, intervened in the life of religion. The new Protestant model of what a state was argued that the state had a right to impose its laws upon citizens, but religion could only encourage. It could not force people to believe as they saw they could believe. And therefore, both Jews and Christians in Amsterdam are increasingly secularized. In other words, when Spinoza will articulate his philosophy of Judaism or Christianity or his philosophy in general, he will be intellectually justifying what is already a social reality, namely that the majority of Jews and Christians are living in a very secular climate where they feel they can do their religion or not do it as they see fit.